What?
I'm excited right now.
I'm pumped. Are you pumped, Justin?
Do you feel it? I feel it in my balls.
Okay, we've been rolling on Mind Pump, dude, for a little over a year right now. And I have to admit, this is the most excited I've been.
Yeah.
This is our greatest creation.
Swear.
This is like the opus.
Swear on my father's grave, okay? Listen, I would not say that. Literally in the last 7 days, I've probably, I don't know, maybe four of those nights, I got like 4 or 5 hours top sleep. I cannot sleep right now. I feel like the last time I remember having a feeling like this was when I was like a little kid, like waiting for Christmas, or you're going to like Great America or Disneyland the next day, and you're like, can't sleep all night long.
Do you realize how hard it is? I cannot keep secrets ever.
Well,
my wife, we just can't do it anymore.
They're going to find out. I mean, we put together the most.
Well, why did we do it though?
We did it
because we've been saying
there's some problems in the fitness industry, and we created a solution. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
This program that we put together has the most incredible expertise I've ever seen in my life when it comes to fitness programming. And it's in this new MAPS program that we're releasing. You want to find out some more information? All you got to do is go to mindpumpradio.com, click on the green button. There's a whole video. We'll talk all about it. We'll get into some detail. And by the end of it, you'll have a great idea of what we did.
If you like it, wait for more and then share it.
Yeah, absolutely. I guarantee you guys will like this. Make sure you mindpumpradio.com.
Click on the green button.
Hit it.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump with your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
I want you guys to look at my face real quick.
Of course.
Okay?
It looks oily.
This is the face, besides the racist remarks from Adam about Sicilians being oily, this is the face of a man who has had zero fucking sleep.
Ooh.
Zero sleep.
Welcome to my world, bro. Yeah.
Bro.
Come on.
Did you guys sleep last night?
Here it is. It's in my head. In my head, zombie. We're all zombies.
Yeah. Give me head.
Give me head. Is that how he says?
Cranberries?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a cranberry.
Cranberry.
Dude, I'm exhausted as shit. This was me all night last night.
It's like that yeast infection you're trying to get rid of. Cranberry juice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sorry, what? Ahead. Cranberry juice is for urinary tract.
Oh, just kidding. Yeah, that's what it was.
Don't misinform us.
Whoops. Yeah.
Yeah, if you have a yeast infection, don't listen to Justin.
So
I am a professional.
Do you hear about that lady that made bread from the yeast in her?
Stop!
I swear, dude.
Stop it.
Yes. Oh. She actually made bread.
I'm irritated. How gross is that? Oh, it's disgusting.
I know you'd eat it though.
So
probably
Katrina just called me right now.
Depends what she looks like,
and she tells me, she goes, "Oh my god, I just had the craziest phone call," and she starts to go in and tell me that the doctor comes in. Well, she just recently took a blood test. She wanted to get her, now she's in her 30s and stuff. She wants to get a blood test for her hormone levels, things like that, just for later in life as those change. The doctors will have kind of a home base where it's at, right?
She has high testosterone.
No, listen. So she gets it done, and she's talking to me right now, and she's like, "Oh my god!" She goes, "This lady calls. She just calls me back, and she says, Katrina, we're gonna need you to come in, and we think your partner should come in too, so you guys can both get retested again." And she's like, she's telling her all this stuff. She's being kind of vague, and she's starting to freak out. She's like, "What's going on?"
Well, oh, that's scary.
Oh, so she tells her, she says, "You know, STD came up inside your guys' test." And
what?
Yeah, we think so. She's like, all these thoughts are going through her head. She's all pissed off, freaking out, stuff like that. And she's like, "Are you sure?" She's like, "Yeah, you know, we're for sure. So we want to have you." Well, we're not for sure. That's why we want to have you guys come in, retest them for sure. And we highly recommend that you bring your partner in to have him tested again too. And so
I hope this is a good ending. So you're freaking me out right now.
Well, kind of like this is a lot for the listeners to.
You know, we keep it real.
I don't know about you.
You better have a good ending here, Adam.
So. She
and herpes.
She's asking the. Yeah, that's it. End of story.
Da, 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 da.
She's asking the lady. She goes, "You know, I just took that test. Like, she just took it like a day ago, 2 days ago." She goes, "They said it wasn't gonna be. I wouldn't have the results for that." And she and the lady looks down. She goes, "Oh my god, I'm so sorry. I have Christina Garcia, not Katrina Garcia. Oh, totally disregard that message. Man. This is not for
that
you."
That is
fucking unprofessional.
Horrible.
Unprofessional.
Can you believe that happened?
So, terrible.
So two things about your story. Number one, everybody listening in the beginning was like super uncomfortable, including me.
Whoa, dude.
And then it's a good ending. However, you just gave away the fact that some poor Christina Garcia somewhere has got an STD.
Sorry, Christina.
I figure it was
luckily that's a common
name. You had to know from somebody.
Yeah, if it wasn't something super common, but her name was Christina Garcia and not Katrina Garcia, and she had a mix-up. She was getting her test.
Now, my question is, the doctor, what's his name, Steve Harvey?
Yeah, it was a Steve Harvey. Yeah.
Oh, I made a mistake. So when you were saying that, Justin was sweating earlier because, you know, you guys hooked up.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, God, I hope I didn't give it to him.
I hope I didn't
get Don't act like it wasn't you guys, too, on that weekend together. Come on, man.
Good times.
Yeah, you can't get it from a hand job. So,
can you just imagine the feeling she was probably going through when she was getting told that?
Oh, dude, sweating profusely.
Oh, right? Oh, yeah. Awful, right?
Dude, that's like the worst fuck up of all time when a doctor, I mean, that's just fucked up.
Right?
Yeah.
And I mean, the only thing worse than that would be like, oh, we got your test results back. You're going to be dead in 3 months. And oh, my God. Excuse me. We made a mistake.
I'm surprised.
Sorry, Miss
I'm surprised
Columbia.
She wasn't more. She said she apologized and that, but I'm like, God, that's like a serious fuck up right there. Like, you know?
That's bad. That's bad news.
No, yeah, I know, right?
You imagine some dude like gets that phone call and then they don't correct it right away. And he's like thinking way back, like, man, 10 years ago.
Oh, my God. He starts calling people.
There was that one night in Vegas. He has to tell his wife, honey, 10 years ago, I fooled around with this chick, and I don't know, maybe I cut a guy. And then he gets a phone call back. Then he has to tell his wife, just kidding.
Oh, yeah, I was just playing a prank.
Isn't that funny, honey? So let's talk about this lack of sleep thing. I want to talk about this because I know you fuckers didn't sleep either last night.
Yes.
Because we have officially launched our launch sequence videos giving people information on our new MAPS program.
You know what it reminds me of? It's like, what? Like, you know, when a shuttle goes off, you have like 5, 4.
Yeah.
Like we got that all kind of going.
Yeah. I was literally pacing in the room back and forth all night and then sleep. And then I'd wake up and check my phone and. It's stressful, bro. Well, now I feel like shit.
It's like one of those things. It's like one of our little babies that we're exposing here.
Yeah.
And we'll have more, but this is a big one.
Well, I want to share a little bit of what I've been going through with it. I have not been sleeping. I haven't been sleeping for like 2 weeks, so I've been pretty excited about this for a while. But then I've had a bit hesitant about the whole process, to be honest. And a lot of this has been blind faith, just trusting in Doug and his talent and what he was doing. No, really. I mean,
Trust in God.
Those that have been listening to her for a long time now know that, you know, we're very transparent. We always wanted to come off as we're not trying to be this podcast who's on here to push all their products and to sell you and to do things like that. So, you know, naturally, we knew that if we gained a large enough audience that, you know, the business would just come. And so that's been our approach for a very long time. Well, you know, the volume is there. I mean, there's a lot of people that are listening now, you know, and Doug's been kind of telling us like, hey, listen, you guys, we're not really following any best practices for an online business. I know you guys want to stay so anti-sales and anti-business guys, but at the same time, too, you have to make it user-friendly and easy for people to access the things that you guys are providing. And I mean, I've been really hesitant because I don't want to come off that way. I don't want to be this, you know, like, oh, you know, a 30-day program.
There's
make sure
formula.
Yeah, you know, give us this. And
today's the last day. Yeah.
Guaranteed.
And so that it was really tough. And man, I have to say, seeing it all come together now, I'm just like, oh, this is really cool, man. This is
I think what it is that, like, so this is all like part of the hype and like I'm getting hyped.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, as a result.
And that's why I'm excited about it, because it's even got me hyped. So I'm like, okay, I know what's coming. I get all of it. So if I'm hyped about it, imagine somebody who's listening. And then now with the new webpage that's coming out now with all, I mean, it's just so user friendly for people that want to gain access for everything that we have. So I'm like, okay, I'm down. This is
well, even
cool.
Even the way we did the launch video, because here's what a launch sequence is to those of you who are not privy to this internet marketing type of thing. A launch sequence is when you release a series of, usually it's videos that bring you up to speed to a product release or launch. Okay, right. So initially, even, you know, ideally, what people do is they do like 3 or 4 or 5 videos, I think, for what's called a launch sequense. And one comes out, and 2 days later, another one comes out, and so on. And what you do is you do like they're sales videos, is what they are. Mm. And initially, we were going to do that. And we sat down and we're like, you know, we were talking about what we're going to talk about in the videos. And we're like, you know what? That's not us. Like, it's not us to sit there and sell to the camera. Why don't we just record a podcast where we talk about what we're doing?
Why we created this?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that's literally that's what our launch sequence is. It's a full podcast that we broke up into 3 sections, and the first one, which is available now, right? It's available now. Talks about, it's titled "The Ancient Athlete," and without going into too much detail That's what we talk about in the first video, and then it goes on. There's a second video that's released and a third video that's released.
Well, we address the problems in the industry.
The title of it, though, is The Ancient Athlete.
Yeah,
we talk about
ancient,
the problem.
But the main reason and the whole idea and the reason why we designed this was that there's a huge epidemic in the fitness industry because, you know, where the money is at if you're going to do online anything or even, you know, brick and mortar is to create these, you know, cookie cutter type programs that are generic and easy to, you know, copy, you know, because if you're going to sell to a million people, individualizing something or making it for one, I mean, that's just, it's not very scalable. And that was like our mission was how do we find something that's scalable to provide that type of service for people? And there's so many programs out there that millions of people are buying into that don't realize like how generic that is for them. And that's what we talk about in this. We get into the in-depth into all that.
We do, because here's how it breaks down. If you buy a program, another program online, it's going to tell you what to do. So you're going to look and you're going to see, okay, day one, I do these exercises. Day two, I do these exercises and so on. And we do provide a template. We do that as well.
Right.
However, we break it down so that you understand why you're doing what you're doing, mm-hmm. so that you can modify it and work with it with your body. Because here's the deal.
And evolve it.
And of course, we're going to have other tools that I don't want to go into detail either because we'll be giving it too much away. Yeah. But we're going to have other tools available where you'll be able to individualize it for yourself or if you're a trainer, for your clients.
Well, you know what this is, right? It's not something that's like your plan and this is the plan like short-term wise. Like we thought way far in the future with this.
Right.
That's why it took so long to really hash this out.
You know what this reminds me of? So, and trust me, they're connected. I'll tell you a story. When I started working in the fitness industry, I started as a personal trainer. And very, very quickly, I moved up the ranks. And in those days, nobody went from the fitness side to the sales side in fitness. Mm-hmm. If you were a personal trainer, the highest you could go was like a district fitness manager, and that was it. But the money in fitness was the sales side, which was general manager, district manager, vice president, and so on. And back then, nobody moved over. I was one of the first guys to go start in fitness and then move over to the sales side. And I was extremely successful. And the primary reason of it wasn't because my sales skills were amazing, although they were good. I will say I had good sales skills. It was because I was fitness minded. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sales minded.
Right.
So to give you an example, when a sales guy would teach his sales staff to give a tour of the gym, they would tour the features of the gym and what we have to offer. And oh, here's our special price.
We got towels.
I would tour fitness. I would show you, I would ask you your goals. I would show you, okay, well, this is the exercise that would be best for you. And this is what cardio does. And this is what weights do. And this is what personal trainers provide. And that was extremely successful because people now had a plan, understood what they were going to do. Well, again, on this podcast and developing these programs, we are not sales people first. We are fitness people first. And so our goal wasn't to create just a program, just like we did with the other stuff that we've developed. It's not to develop a program and say, here, just follow this. Mm-hmm. It's like, how are we going to get people we're definitely going to guide them. We're definitely going to give them a template that we're going to put our best programming in. And you've got three fitness, you know, geniuses putting their expertise in.
That's half the competition I see like happening down the road. It's like, can you outdo our template?
Right. Nobody. No. Right. Yeah. And that's the thing. We explain how to, and then you get to individualize it. And then we're going to provide, you know, like a mastermind area where you can go on and you can start tweaking these things and really working around your body. Because the truth is this, here's the fucking truth when it comes to fitness. There's definitely general truths. There's definitely, you know, staple rules and laws when it comes to exercise. But man, you could take one person, you can compare it to the next person, and the variance could be dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
So how can we provide, you know, what we do as one-on-one trainers, which is excellent service and excellent results, how can we do that and scale it up to thousands of people and maybe millions of people?
Mm-hmm.
And we think we figured it out.
I think we cracked that.
Yeah. Right.
I'm glad you brought up the whole analogy about you being a sales guy and fitness guy.
Yeah, that was a great analogy.
Well, this is why people don't realize this, but if you took the top 10 programs followed, everything from brick and mortar type stuff or boxes like CrossFit all the way down to your online present guy who is the most popular guy online who sells programs or whatever like that, or diets or whatever. if you look at the top 10 or 20 of those people, 95% of them are brilliant sales and business people.
A lot of them aren't even trainers.
Yeah, exactly. And or they've hired someone to be the face of that business. And
very,
behind,
very important.
Behind it is somebody who is actually brilliant in sales. And they're just using this body as a marketing tool for this business plan. Mm-hmm. And it's rarely ever this. There's I tell you what, there's hundreds of thousands of great design programs that's out there, but nobody knows about them because they're brilliant trainers that are passionate about designing programs and writing plans for people and helping coach people, but they're not so strong in sales and they don't have that business side to them very, very, very much. And so you never get to see them.
Not only that, but if you ask, and we know this, we've how many trainers have worked for us throughout the years, right? Thousands. Excellent, really, really good trainers. If you tell them to do group training or create a program for lots of people, they'll say, well, I can't, because they know the value in creating individualized programs.
Yeah.
The integrity is there. And it's very hard to find a super, super good trainer who can translate that and turn it into something scalable and present something to the masses.
Yeah, there's always been like professionals I've followed and they're completely split. So I have my business people I totally look up to and I pick apart their practices and like why they're so successful. Same thing with some of these trainers and some of these gurus that have it down. Like they've really mastered their craft as far as training people and providing results and data and all this kind of stuff. You know, and that's why I do feel this sort of a difference that we provide, like just individually between the three of us. And I was thinking about this because I was going through names and I'm kind of developing a product and everything. And I really liked Chimera. And I feel like we're almost the Chimera of that blend between fitness and sales.
What is Chimera?
Chimera, it's like a mythical creature that can change shapes, but it's the same thing.
I feel like it's a scary monster.
Well,
it is
kind
of. We're scary monsters.
We're scary monsters.
I love, you know what? I'll tell you what. Here's the gamble, and this goes to any of you who are listening who are in some kind of entrepreneurial business, or you're building your own business, or if you're in fitness. At a certain point, you have to decide who you are, and then you should stick to that. And we decided, and it was a huge gamble, and it cost us early money, that we would take our audience through everything that we did and tell them what we're doing and do it step by step. Who does that, right? Yeah. Nobody does it. And when we talked about initially, we're like, that's a great idea, but nobody fucking does that. Like, nobody reveals what they're trying to do as they're developing products or releasing.
Well, we also know that it would risk a lot of immediate revenue for us.
Which it has.
Yeah.
We've had potential sponsorships with very large companies, and they've told us, literally, we can't work with you guys. Like, you guys are too anti-supplement, or you guys are too, you know, transparent. You guys don't have, you guys can't sell out because you've already, you know, made your position so strong, which is on one hand a compliment. On the other hand, you kind of like, fuck, you know, we can't.
Yeah. It'd be nice to get a check from somebody every month, right?
Right. But so, you know, like this launch sequence, this launch videos that we did, that's what we do. We're breaking it down. We're literally telling you what the process was and what we're trying to do. And that's what you learn from watching it. So it is a big gamble, but so far so good. I think our audience really respects that we're that honest. And to be honest with you guys, I don't think we could. I mean, I can't, I don't know what it is, man. I'm not normally a good, people say, oh, you're a good bullshitter, but that's because I can hold a good conversation. But the reality is, I can't, like, when I'm on this
you
mic,
can't live with yourself.
Bro, when I'm on this mic, yeah. Like, we did that episode on stress and shit. Like, that was a very personal thing. I just can't bullshit. Like, people need to know what I'm going through. So, well, and what we're doing.
We set the table early on. That's why, you know, we've set the table now where, and it's become so routine and habit and therapeutic, like we've said.
Well, yeah,
before.
It's way more comfortable, to be honest. Yeah. I mean, if you're trying to always present yourself in a certain light and have people know you, you know, for something that you really aren't deep down, you're not. Like, that is stressful. That is a very stressful way to live.
Yeah. Extremely. And I'm learning right now firsthand the freaking, the health benefits of sleep or what happens when you don't get it.
Yeah.
Like I mean, I'm so hyped that I'm awake, but I can tell that my body's like, dude, fuck you. If you don't go to sleep soon, we're going to get sick.
Yes.
So, but yeah, I'm just too, I'm too excited to see, you know, how people are going to respond to it. And I'm excited to see the results. I mean, with our first program, you know, with our first MAPS program, the results people have been giving us feedback on has been, and it's taken a little while because we all knew that people would have to do it. I mean, how many times did people do the program and say, are you sure? And I feel like this is enough, or I should be real sore. And then, of course, 3 weeks later, we get the email like, oh my God, I'm getting breaking PRs. And, you know, I can't wait to hear some of that stuff for what's coming out next.
Yeah, so. Yeah, exactly. That's all the unknown that we're really jazzed about.
Yeah. We should plug our Instagrams. We don't ever do that enough.
Yeah, no. Yeah, all of our personal Instagrams, you have Mind Pump Adam, Mind Pump Sal, Mind Pump Justin, Mind Pump Doug, and then Mind Pump.
And then Mind Pump. And we all have different information. And for the launch videos, where are they available, Doug? Is it mindpumpradio.com? What color is the button? Green. Click on the green button. Check it out. Let us know what you think. Leave a comment in the bottom.
Well, here's I really want to, you know, once again, being transparent and keeping it real on here. I mean, we're here with this. I've been waiting for our website to be up to par where it's at right now, to where people are going to want to go through it and check things out. And, you know, we have enough to really, the program that we have that's coming out is like, I feel like we're addressing a lot of big issues, and it's going to be for a lot of people out there. You know, I want to ask you guys to share it. I mean, if you listen to it, you like it, it's something that you like what you hear. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's where this is going to really grow and give us momentum so we can continue to deliver. So, I mean, we're only so powerful, the three of us sitting in this room, you know, and we can only get on our computers and put it out there as much as possible. I mean, if only 10% of the people listening right now, you know, if 10%
of
you
actually...
Well,
maybe it's just a shift of focus, right? We've already had people help us tremendously with identifying people that are doing crazy shit and, you know, just tagging us and... being real active, communicating with us. Like, this is just another thing that, like, if we shift focus on this, will help a lot of people. So, yeah.
So here's something that I haven't really shared with you guys that, you know, I'm now going on, I think, second or third week that I've actually been going through our program already. And I know I couldn't share it because the fact that we have, you know, we haven't released it yet. And Doug was like, you know, not allowed to talk about it.
You're not a good secret keeper.
No. So I've
been, kidding me? He's always holding stuff from us.
Well, this is why. And it just seemed, I mean, we had the program already designed. So I already knew what we were doing, you know, and we just were finishing it up so we could actually get it to everybody else. And I thought, well, shit, you know, I want to do it, but I also want to wait till we launch it and so everybody can watch and go through the process. Mm-hmm. But then I came off of being so sick. I lost all that weight. And, you know, I'm coming off of being this bodybuilder guy, being focused that way. And I thought, you know what? Like, this is so perfect. Instead of me fighting with my body and trying to be this big guy and go back that direction again, you know, this will help me refocus in a total different direction. I tell you what, man, feels pretty good to be pretty functional right now.
Let's be a little more functional in our practice.
Well, we got to define that. We got to define what that means. I did a post on Instagram a few days ago about that, and it got a lot of people commenting. So I guess I hit a nerve.
Okay.
Because the term functional gets thrown around in fitness a lot. And it started about, I don't know, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, where everybody's like, functional. Yeah. What does that actually...
There's a buzz term there for a while.
Right. So, like, what does that actually mean? You know, one of the things I talked about in my post even was like, you know, is a high-level basketball player functional? Is a swimmer that competes functional? And they are. They're very functional for their sport. Mm-hmm. But they're probably very unfunctional for something else. For example, a long-distance runner is probably going to be a really unfunctional, horrible shot putter. So for sake of argument, for the average person who's listening, functional doesn't necessarily mean for one specific thing. What it means is... the gains that you see in the gym translate into the real world. And for me, functional is like it's broad spectrum. It's like this, it encompasses a lot of different things in terms of, you know, what your body can do and then improving upon those things that your body can do.
Well, let's be honest, you know, and I bet that I actually didn't get a chance to see all the comments. I did see the post, but, you know, you're right. Somebody sees, to the average person, they see an athlete. It doesn't matter any sport they see, but look, every single sport is primarily focused like one direction, whatever it is you're doing. You know what I'm saying? And they're very, very good at that. And in reality, they're kind of the furthest from being functional. Mm-hmm. When you really, really think about it. I mean, yeah, like you
use the real world.
You're trying to optimize like these very specific patterns for that sport. So, yeah, you will be short. You will be tight in certain muscle groups that will, you know, while the other one will thrive, right? Well, and that's what you want to focus on.
It's the reason why NASCAR looks different than Formula One, looks different than off-road.
Built totally differently.
Totally differently, specific for one specific target.
Right.
When we talk about function, we're talking about the average person who wants to be able to do all that stuff.
It's the off-road car built like an Indy car.
Yeah, it can do all that stuff, right? And it does it all pretty well.
Yeah.
But it's approached, you know, when people train for that or when they do programs that are geared towards that, it's all wrong. It's all done very, very wrong.
Exactly. We've seen very, like, specific organizations that have done it, like, completely wrong.
CrossFit.
Right.
Here's the biggest problem I see. Because we always talk about the problems, the programming, this and that. Here's an easy one that I like to explain to people. When you're training for a particular type of adaptation, okay, let's say I'm training for maximal strength. Maximal strength would be like your one rep strength, like a power lifter, like a squat, right? When I'm training for that, I have to train specifically for that. I can't train for one rep max squat
and your and best
endurance,
mile time.
And best mile time.
Yeah.
Because what ends up happening is I end up just training endurance because I'm so fatigued that all I'm doing is I'm trying to train under all this fatigue.
They're conflicting goals. Yeah,
they're conflicting goals. And can you train for both of them? You can, just not at the same fucking time. If I can't put a maximal strength goal with a super endurance goal in the same workout, because I'll get little of each, or I'll get mostly endurance, right? Because you're just so fatigued. The ideal way, the way the body really adapts, is I focus on that one goal for a set period of time, really, you know, train with intent. That's a great word.
Yeah.
Is training with intent. For example,
purpose, intent,
purpose. So like if I'm running a sprint and I want to get faster at sprinting, and I'm running, you know, I'm doing a 50-yard sprint. I'm running as hard and fucking fast as I can for 50 yards.
Right.
If I'm running for 10 miles, then that is the wrong intent. I'm not going to go and run as hard and fucking fast as I can right out the gates like I do the 50-yard dash for the 10 miles.
And here's where, let me stop you there, where people get this mixed up and why it doesn't make sense for the average person is there's a little carryover from that. So if you're a couch potato, you haven't done anything, and you say, I want to get really good at a 50-yard sprint, and you do run 10 miles a day, you probably are going to get a little bit better at running 50 yards, because before that, you weren't running at all.
Sure. Right?
But in reality, you're not going to be the best 50-yard sprinter because you're running 10-plus miles or whatever like that. So, and then the same goes with the opposite goal. If your goal was to run 10 miles and all you did was 50-yard sprints, how well are you going to
get? I think of it like this, too. Once you teach your body how to move at this like high level of capacity, you will have that memory stored. Right,
you do.
It's gonna be able to respond the way you want it to later on, even if you've not touched that in a while.
That's right, and that's how you cycle.
Right,
that's how you cycle through different phases, different targets, and you know.
So people are afraid of losing that.
Right, they're like, oh, okay, I just worked on maximal strength. Now I'm gonna work on, I don't know, stability or balance or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna lose all the strength. Not necessarily.
Mm-mm.
Maybe a little bit, because there's always that skill involved that you didn't practice necessarily for 3 weeks. But at the end of your cycle of 6 weeks or whatever, you're going to have more strength and more balance and stability than if you did strength and balance and stability all at once.
Yeah.
Does that make sense the way I explain that?
Yeah. But how about this one? I mean, we have a lot of trainers that listen to us with that. How about the Dynadisc, the Bosu ball, the stability ball, you know, the balancing on one leg, the, you know, This is what I think our industry.
That's where functional gets a bad rap.
It does, and this is where I think we took a left in the fitness industry.
We did.
We took an idea. We took a concept that I thought was really good, and then we, like anything else in fitness or any other industry, we went to the extreme. You know, we went like, okay, this is something that has its place in a fitness journey, possibly for somebody, and now everybody should do it. And if you're not balancing on one leg when you do this, or you're not trying to do a stability ball type exercises, then you're not very functional.
Well, we stop focusing on strength.
Yep.
We're just all trying to balance and react.
Well, here's what people don't realize is that there's a skill level with certain exercises, okay? If the exercise requires a very high skill level, then it's going to be very difficult to train with particular intent because the limiting factor will be your skill at that particular movement. So I'll give you an example that has nothing to do with working out in the gym. If I swim all the time, swim, I'll build lots of endurance, but I'll also develop a tremendous amount of skill for swimming.
Yeah.
So then I go to run, and I'll have more endurance running than if I never swam before, but I'll have nowhere near the endurance than if I also trained in running and I did it in a particular way because there's a skill that's involved. When it comes to all these balancing exercises like the Bosu ball and the DynaDisc and doing all this crazy stuff, a lot of the improvement you see in those movements doesn't have necessarily to do with your body's general improvement and balance. There is that. But really, it has more to do with the fact that you're practicing a skill.
Mm-hmm.
And what the real way to put together a program is to balance the two out, especially when we're making a program for most people. Mm-hmm. We're looking to develop a program that, you know, there's going to be some skill involved, like anything, because you're doing something. But we want lots of carryover. Like, right. How much carryover are you going to get from standing on a physio ball and doing squats to being functional in the real world? Not as much as if you did, let's say, just a traditional squat.
How often are you standing on a ball?
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a place for those things. We're not saying that those things are worthless, but if you need to use them for what they're good for,
yeah.
And you need to stop using them for what they're not good for. Plyometrics is another great example. Like, people use plyometrics in the wrong way. They use plyometrics to get to fatigue.
Yeah.
Like, this is exhausting. Do these box jumps.
It's very demanding. So, of course, you know, the industry, how they do things, right? It's super intense. Oh, great. Let's throw this as a cardio exercise.
Dude, I see people doing plyo jumps at the gym, and they're dying because it's part of a circuit,
mm-hmm.
and they're really tired, and they're like, jump up, jump up, jump up. And I see no power. You know what I'm saying? I don't see them really exerting the power because they can't.
They had it like the first one and then that was it.
I got to share this with you guys and I want to hear your guys' response because I couldn't get any response from any of my peers and my trainers that I work with. So I told you I've been kind of going through this through our program and I don't want to share too much about how it works and phases and stuff. But obviously you guys would know that I'm in phase one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so those that know, I work at OTF, but I've never taken an OTF workout ever. So I am the only trainer, I think, in the entire company that's never taken a class.
The honesty in here is ridiculous.
So this week is what,
it's
called peak performance. And each day there's a different like challenge. Well, day before yesterday was the 500 meter row as fast as you could. I thought, well, this is perfect. This is right up my wheelhouse since I'm starting this phase one of our program. And I'm like, you know, let me give it a whirl and see how it is. I haven't sat on a rower in probably a couple of years because I'm allergic to cardio. And I thought, okay, let me get on here and see what I can rip out 500 meters. Now, 500 meters is by far not...
He shits his pants.
It's not long. I mean, it's a decent distance, but it's something you should be able to do, you know, in a short period of time. So I get in there and I rip on the rower and I set the record in the area. So I took a snapshot of the picture.
Wait a minute, hold on, back up. Yeah, you glossed over something very important.
Yeah,
here.
You set
You set the record.
Well, yeah, I thought I had the company record until I found out somebody. So the current one was a minute 17, and I smashed that at a minute 12. And the back half, I really cruised. I could tell I was on pace to get it. I was averaging about 660 watts for the first, 250 meters.
660 gigawatts. 660 watts.
And then after I had beat that, one of the other trainers had sent me a picture of a guy who happens to be a power lifter over in the Sacramento area. Very legit trainer too, savage dude. Who actually pulled it in 110. I thought, well, son of a bitch, I should have seen that first and then I would have been able to get it, right?
Yeah.
But anyways, that's not the point of the story. I snapshot it. I sent it to this group text with all of us trainers in the company and I was talking trash and I just said, hey, you guys going to come get me or what today? And everyone's like firing back and one of the trainers is like, yeah, the funny thing is you think that's cardio. That's not cardio. Let's see you get on there for 25 minutes, right? And so I sent back to him. I said, that's a really good mind pump topic, actually. For evolutionary purposes, which one do you think would be more beneficial? If I could row 500 meters in a minute or I could sit on a rower for 20 minutes, what do you guys think?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Both. I mean, either, whatever you want.
Well,
I mean,
think for evolutionary purposes.
Well, if you're talking
about fight or flight or like that response, you want to have boom, that instant connection. Yeah. You don't need it to go for
strictly evolutionary purposes. And when you're talking about, when we talk about what we're talking about right now, which is real world, we're talking about, broad spectrum. you know, what is going to benefit you more, somebody having the ability and the power to rip.
Well, here, not to knock.
Unless you got to travel a long distance, and then you would adapt to that. That'd be different.
So if we're going to speak evolutionarily in evolutionary senses.
That's why I asked you.
Humans are very good at, naturally, we're very good at traveling long, long distances at a slow pace. Mm-hmm. Walking. So humans can migrate long, vast distances. We're evolved to do that. But to get away from shit, you got to move quick. And to catch something, you got to move really quick. So I would say that that's probably a more important skill. Right. But I will say this. Look, if you look at like today's world, the modern world, and not to knock long distance athletes, like ultra long distance athletes, not to knock them. It's extremely impressive to me. It's always been impressive because it's something that I am horrible at. But if you look at a sprinter, you look at their body, you look at the way they move, and you look at them function in the modern world versus a long-distance runner.
This is the direction I was going with this debate. Yeah.
But you look at a long, super ultra-long distance runner, the sprinter is going to be more functional in everyday modern
healthier,
world.
Healthier, stronger. I mean, come on.
More
he's
muscle.
He's going to catch his food.
Yeah, he's going to have...
I mean, he's going to eat.
He's going to be lean. He's going to have more muscle.
He could actually probably tackle his food, too, or a marathon runner.
Marathon runner might get eaten. Yeah. But, you know, you're going to have, you know, more muscle, faster metabolism. They're going to be more stable, less oxidative stress.
Mm-hmm.
So not to knock endurance. You need to have endurance. But people forget that without strength, endurance is worthless.
Right. Well, let's be honest. There's a phase for that. There's a phase that's designed for something, you know, for you to do that. You don't necessarily have to be.
It's not as high intensity, right? Like Sal was talking about, we're most efficient at a lower intensity in that range anyway.
Well, let me ask you this. What's the difference? Here's a great question, because here's a word that we use, and I might be giving up too much, but whatever, fuck it. What's the difference between endurance and durability? How about that? How about that? Because when there's endurance, you think of someone who's running, you know, 20 miles nonstop. Durable is a fucking person that's durable, that can last, that can weather the storm.
They can weather it,
that can handle a lot of things.
All the stress.
Yeah. Right. And you think about these like
persevere.
Exactly. Yeah. Like these. That's the kind of endurance that the average person should aim for, not being able to run.
And
you
plus,
know,
it's mental at that point anyway. A lot of it.
It is, but like it's
very
like
mental
in
driven.
Boxing, they call it heart, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Not that you can take a punch, but you're durable in many different aspects. Like when you look at like the training for like the Navy SEALs or Army Rangers, it's not, okay, guys, I mean, yeah, they do run, but that's not their training. That's not all their training. Right. They do a lot of shit because there's a lot of things thrown at them in battle. They have to be durable.
Right.
And that's the kind of endurance that I think is most important.
Desirable.
Unless you're competing in a marathon race or something like that. Then you want that kind of long distance, you know, continuous type of endurance.
No, I agree.
But otherwise, you need to be able to weather the storm. Mm-hmm. And you need to be able to apply strength for a relatively long period of time. That's real endurance. But check this out. If you've got you could be world champion endurance athlete of all time, but be super, super weak, you're going to get exhausted lifting something relatively heavy multiple times. Mm-hmm. You can have tons of endurance. Without strength, your endurance is worthless.
Well, let's think about this. Think about like a 50-pound kid that you have to hold, you know, and you're going around, you're going upstairs, you're going this way, you're going that way.
That's a fat kid.
It's a big kid, but let's just say it is.
Average American kid.
You know what I mean? Like,
let's just say 30s.
You got to be durable to get yourself.
Let's say you got
to
walk around with Doug. You're holding Doug.
That's what I'm saying.
I know you guys used to do this. I used to do this all the time. I used to give people tours of the gym, and I'd have them hold on to like a 40-pound dumbbell and just make them.
Oh, what a dick. I know exactly what you did.
I'd give them the dumbbell. We'd start our tour. You know, a tour takes, 5 minutes or so, 5-10 minutes, walk them around the gym, the bathroom, show them everything like that. And then when we first start the tour, I'd hand them the 40-pound dumbbell and make them carry it through the whole tour.
Yeah.
And you know, halfway through they're switching hands, you could tell they're all tired and they want to sit. A lot of times people will be like, do I have to keep carrying this? Can I set this down somewhere? You know,
doesn't it feel good to lose 40 pounds?
No.
Yeah.
And you revisit that later on. But it's crazy how something like that can be so challenging for the average American, because we just everything is about making things easier for us. Technology is getting and that, I think that's the argument most people would have. There's an F in most now.
Yeah.
You know, most people would argue that, oh, well, there's no need to now. Now I have the computer, and now I can DoorDash. I can
have my Segway and my little hoverboard.
Yeah, right.
Well, here's what people need to understand. Your body will only ever, ever be as strong or as fast or as durable or as, you know, agile as the bare minimum that it needs to be. It will never adapt more than it absolutely needs to be.
What was the Socrates quote?
Oh, fuck. Can someone pull that up?
The Socrates quote, that's the same one, too, that was talking about, right, a man never getting seen the full potential.
It's a tragedy.
Yeah, tragedy.
Yeah, I know potential. Doug has it written down somewhere. But if you're, think about it. Look, becoming stronger, faster, more agile, more durable, having all these different things, it requires resources. It costs. It's expensive for your body.
Well, your body wants to make efficient, you know, all these different movements and processes at the time. So if it sees these repeated patterns, it's gonna figure it out, and it's gonna make that process like most beneficial. You know, so yeah, like you don't have to use as much energy.
Basically, your body is like a D student in school. Literally, it will do just enough to pass. It will never get an A. Because why? Why would I need an A when I can pass with a D?
Right.
And so you have to provide a challenge to your body, and you have to know how to provide that challenge and do it properly with proper programming and phasing and the right kind of
my
exercise.
My body is a double D.
When the hell did a D become a passing grade?
Don't you pass with a D in school?
I think it's C. Yeah.
Dunce?
Is it a C?
No, it's a C.
Schools I went to anyway. Yeah.
No, I'm pretty sure it's a. Is it a D?
No, it's a C.
Really? I thought F was fail, D was pass.
No, D is for dummy. F is fail, D is for dummy, C is pass, B is above average, A is you're absolutely awesome.
Oh, I don't know. Did you find the quote, Doug? You did? Here, let me, let's... Oh, you didn't find it.
Yep.
Well, there you go, Doug. Well, we don't have that, so...
you're going to have to imagine it.
Way to go, Doug.
I'm going to look it up. Why don't you guys talk about it?
Well, no, the reason why I wanted to bring it up is because it's such a great quote, and it goes right into what we're talking about right now, because, you know, just because you don't have to, you don't have to train the body to be able to be capable to do certain things with that. What is it? Read it
to me. I found it. All right, so this is one of the great philosophers of all time, and he must have said this sometime, you know, 200 BC or something. I don't know. Somewhere around, you know, 400 BC. No man has the right to be an amateur in the matter of physical training. It is a shame for a man to grow old without seeing the beauty and strength of which his body is capable. It's a very powerful quote. Yeah. I remember the first time I read that, because he said it's a shame. And it is, because it's like you're born with this incredible machine that evolved after millions of years, or if you believe in, you know, creation, that was created by some higher being, and you are not tapping into any of it.
You're not realizing your true potential.
It's like you're driving a Ferrari, but you only stay in first gear, and you put shitty gas and you don't change the oil, or like Adam says, you have flat tires. It's like you have no idea what you're walking around
with. Well, let's talk about the carryovers when you actually do start to reach your full potential of your body. I mean, to me, it's great. I mean, I've had thousands of clients that you've changed and shown results as far as losing body weight and building muscle and training for a sport and, you know, increasing their speed and decreasing their mile time, blah, blah, blah. But really, to me, the most rewarding, the best part about it is seeing how that empowers them and the other stuff that they notice. Like, all of a sudden you become so productive that how proud of yourself you become. It changes your personality. It changes the way you carry yourself, the way you talk. Like, I mean, and why I feel so passionate about that. So those that listen, I started a YouTube channel. You could look this up. It's been almost 4 years now. We Love to Hate Adam on YouTube. And I started my transformation. And it was when I was, you know, 19% body fat. I was fat on there, and it was going to be my journey. And I started doing logs, and you can hear it in my voice. Like, I sound like two different, and it's not like I wasn't aware of that until after I've, you know, we have so much recording now with Mind Pump and all the social media channels.
Man boobies.
Yeah. It does.
I still hit it.
Shit.
But you can hear it in my voice. And then if you compare to, you know, videos later on after the transformations,
think about
crazy.
It this way. If your body and mind is adapted, remember, it will always adapt to the minimum. If your body and mind is adapted to you going to work, sitting at your computer, going home, watching TV, that's how you're going to feel. Yeah. If your body is adapted to something more than that, and of course you got to do it right, because if you do it wrong, you're not gonna get there. Imagine how you feel when you do go sit down on the couch.
Thought.
You're gonna feel like you're a fucking racehorse.
Exactly. If you're never expending the kind of energy required for these types of movements, you're never gonna feel yourself at a higher energy.
No, and the first thing I gotta say this. Here's the first thing you notice. when your body is in that kind of shape and you start to feel it, your body wants to mate. That's like you become, your libido goes up and you become, you know, virile. You want to mate. And then you put off signals before your body changes, before you lose weight and get fit. You automatically, there's very subtle, you know, cues in your body, everything from skin tone to your pheromones.
We call that Sex Panther.
That's right. It sets, that's a good name for a cologne. Yeah, Sex Panther.
That was already used, I think, on Anchorman.
Yeah. You release, you send out these signals to that other people want to mate with. So you become this kind of sexy, you know, feeling kind of person because your body is like, wow, we are in optimal shape. This person can support a human life. Let's go fuck. And that's, and that, so that's a great feeling. I know everybody listening right now, let me tell you something. One of the best feelings you can feel in the world.
Sal, that just turned me on.
I know. One of the best feelings you can have in the world is to be, to have a good, healthy libido. Because you walk around feeling like a fucking champion.
I can't help but imagine this guy right across the way to his bed. He's got his little vertical mirror that he can see himself as he's as he's hitting it. Like, hey, good job.
Yeah.
He's giving himself thumbs up in the mirror. Good job Sal.
Yeah.
Good job, this feels good. Well, looks good.
Great form.
There's no need to imagine, bro. You've seen the videos. I've sent you several of those videos.
All you got to do is look up, Adam.
Yeah.
You
know what I mean? But
boom.
Ooh, that's a good place to end there. With that, subscribe to Mind Pump. Please leave us a 5-star rating and review.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.